begin with hymn number 324. 324. And we'll sing the whole hymn.
Good morning. Welcome everybody into the house of the Lord. Last night, as I was preparing these announcements, I thought I was going to read, and I will read from Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'll just read that one verse. That word bless is also translated kneel in Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's the same Hebrew word, bless and kneel. And then in today's Bible class lesson, we read that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's a phenomenal thing that even those who don't believe in Jesus will eventually bow down to him. So let us believe and bow down because we know who he is. Welcome again, everybody. You'll notice that Johanna is missing. It's probably the first time in over 10 years that she's been missing. She went to Ohio, and as a result of her going to Ohio, they had a mini cousin reunion there. So it was really, really good. I'm glad she was able to go. Glad to see Mike here after successful cataract surgery on Saturday. How are you feeling? Great, thank you. Mike Smith is not here because he's not feeling well, so keep him in your prayers. And please pray for Mark's sister-in-law, Pat Meister. She's dealing with a cancer diagnosis, so please keep her in your prayers. Are there any greetings? Great. Okay, great. Good to hear that. Anybody else say something?
From John and Mary Lou.
From John and Mary Lou. Great. Thank you. In terms of schedule, our Wednesday night Bible study starts in just a few weeks, September 10th. Our quarterly mission focus is Hope Ministries in Brazil. Keep Scott and Michelle Toth in your prayers. And if there's nothing else to announce, please pray for Brother Frank as he has this morning's service. And let us prepare our hearts by singing hymn 216, We Are Assembled Here, O Lord, verses 1, 2, and 3. 216, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Good morning. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we come unto you in prayer. We thank you for the words that you have spoken us to already in this day out of your holy book, the Bible, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue with us, that you would expound upon your word and according to your will. And Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for the many things that you do for us. And we ask that you would continue in that and show your way unto many that maybe don't even know the full story. And Lord, we just want to honor you and praise you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we begin reading, I'd like to come up with a question that some people have asked, and to really respond to that question. But the question was, how can a loving God send people to hell where there's a eternal torment and separation from God? And I think one short answer to that is God does not want to send people to hell. It's not his his doing of wanting that, but it's all part of the rebellion of Satan that he wants to prevent people from going to heaven, because God has heaven prepared for us. He has a place that we can eternally spend with a loving God. And we have a God that is treating us as his, wants to treat us as his children, wants to give us the good things, and wants us to go to be with him in heaven for an eternity. So it's not God that is sending someone to hell. It's really, I think Satan is probably the only one that wants someone to go to hell, and I think he's doing whatever he can to make that happen, and doing whatever he can to make it seem like that God is the one that is doing this, but really it's Satan, and we have to be aware of that, and that he's going to do whatever he can to maybe to upset us or to make us not understand God's word and God's will and God's love. And God created humans as a living soul. He created us in a way that he's not looking to have a huge army of slaves or warriors in us, but he's looking to have us come as children unto him as a loving father, and to recognize that he has good things prepared for us, and he also has made a way of salvation that even through because of the death of his son, that we could have a loving relationship with God, and that's really part of the plan, or in a nutshell of what he does, and he made us as humans and gave us a mind to be able to think and to reason and to independently observe and understand the things that we see and the things that God is doing for us, and we should be thankful for that, and we should be thankful that we have an opportunity to understand God, because he has given us his word in the scriptures, and we can see what God is intending to do and what God is doing for us right now. And he gave humans the ability to observe and to reason and to look at those things that are in his word and those things that we know that God is doing for us, and to recognize that God has that plan of salvation that he wants to give to us, and to also recognize that maybe there's a lot of people that don't understand that plan of God, or there may be some people who don't even want to understand, or don't think that's real, that they think that we're making all those things up and we're just believing what we read, but we can see that God is more of a father to us than he is, and he has planned this way of salvation, and we are thankful for that, and we should be aware that some people may have never heard of what the real plan of salvation is, and if there's a way that we can help some of those people, that we should do that. And but we are thankful that he has given us his word, and we are thankful that we can come unto him in prayer at any time that we want to, and we can understand what God says is right and wrong, and that God has prepared a place for us in heaven, and if we believe him and serve him, that again, we're not serving him as a servant, as a slave. we want to serve Him as the children that He wants us to be to Him. And so God gave us His Word to show us what is right and wrong, and to show us His love. And we should look into His Word and see how He loves us. And the first scripture I want to read is in 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. And we're saying here that God is love. And if we don't know God, we don't know real love. And God wants to make His love known in the scriptures of who He is and what He has prepared for us and what He wants us to do. And the second reading I want to read is in Romans 2:1-11. Romans 2:1-11. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life to those who seek that. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. And here we see that God is telling us about that He cares for us, and He has given us His Word so that we can make known who God is and what He has done for us. And God is a righteous God. There is no unrighteousness in Him, no unrighteousness in God. But God has prepared this heavenly kingdom for those who believe and trust in Him. And we can see that He has prepared this kingdom, but He doesn't want sin to come into that kingdom. That He wants that to be free of sin, and He wants us to trust Him and to learn that who He is and how much He loves us to be able to come in that kingdom, and that that is a kingdom where we can worship God and we'll be able to see Him face to face at that time. But it would only be available to those who have recognized that God has given us this opportunity to be with Him, to dwell with Him forever, and to dwell with those who believe in Him, those that are part of His worshiping Him, and we thank Him for that. And we do read that all in the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God gave His Son Jesus that he would pay the price for my sin, and then because of that, because we know that, and because we understand that God has sent Jesus to do that, not only to die, but also to go through very grievous things that when he was mocked, and he was there were those who didn't believe him, and then he was also whipped, and we read that by his stripes that we are healed. He did that for us. He did that for me. And so Jesus would pay the price so that my sin could be forgiven. And when we understand that, we want to be thankful to Jesus for doing that, thankful to God for having such a plan, and thankful to that God would make available to us that we could come into that kingdom and be in that kingdom with him. And then I'd also like to read Romans 5, 12 through 21. And it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entereth into the world, and death by sin, and so death passeth upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, but also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's obedience were many made sinners, but for one man's disobedience many were made sinners. For by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And here we can see that God made man, and he put Adam and Eve on this earth. And we can see that it was Satan, the one who would come to Adam and Eve, or he came unto Eve and said, "You know, did God really say that you're not allowed to eat of every one of the trees in the garden?" And he's trying to take words and twist them around to make it seem like that God is keeping something from man, that God is saying that this is what you can do, but this is what you can't do. And so by twisting those words around, he gets Eve to disobey the commandment of God that they had, that they could eat of every tree except for one tree that was the tree of life in the garden. And also Adam ate of that tree also. So they both disobeyed the commandment of God. And we see that looks like a very small thing maybe to most people, that say, well, he ate of this fruit when he shouldn't have. That's not really a big deal. But the big deal was that what God had commanded, what they should have done. But then when Satan came and tried to twist that around, it was they disobeyed God's word. And that was a sin to disobey God's word. And from that time on, all have had sin in their lives, even those that were born of believing parents and were born being read the Bible, that we have all sinned, and sin is against God, and the only way we can be saved from that sin is to recognize that Jesus went to the cross, knowing that we all have sinned, and knowing that only He could provide. Knowing that the punishment for sin was death, and so He could provide that punishment, that He could willingly go to the cross for my sin. That's really something amazing. If we can understand that in His fullness, it would be something that is really something to be treasured, and something that we could dedicate our lives unto Christ and have Christ come and want to live in within us and have the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can serve Him according to the way that God wanted that to happen, and that when we do that and we can see that when we die, God has prepared a place for us so that we could spend eternity with Him. But there are others that don't believe God, and maybe there are some who haven't even heard the message of salvation in the way that God has presented it in His Word. And a lot of missionaries go out to foreign countries to make that message known, that there is a way of salvation, that there is a way that we can come unto God, and that we can ask for forgiveness of our sins, and that if we truly repent and come unto God and that dedicate our life unto Him, that He will forgive those sins, because Christ has died for those sins. He has paid the penalty for my sin. And if we can really understand that, what a remarkable thing that is to do that. And even some people will say, well, they're kind people, they're good to other people, and that should be good enough. But if they don't know God's word and they don't really know who God is, then they're really not accepting God, not accepting His plan of salvation and the sacrifice for sin that Jesus did. And it's not just people in foreign countries, but I think that in our society today, there are less and less people that are going to the Word of God and believing the Word of God and knowing that is the truth. And I guess a lot of people just want to be independent, and they want to say, well, whatever their way of thinking is, that's the way they're going to act and be. But that's not really how it is. And if they really knew that the penalty for not coming unto God would be that they would not spend eternity with God in heaven, but that they would go to this place of torment, then God has such a difference between heaven and hell. And if we really understood that, and I think if many understood that, they would also come and listen to the Word of God, and that maybe they would be convicted of that they had sinned, as I had to do in my life, recognizing that I had sinned and I had come short of the glory of God because of that, and I had to come to Him and to ask for repentance. And also, I would want to go to, if there were other people that I had mistreated or done wrong to, that I would go unto them and tell them that I'm going, I want to do the will of God. I want to do what He said in His Word. And if I have wronged you, I would want to repay whatever I have wronged or make it right in whatever I can. Just so they understand that this is a real decision that you have, that has eternal consequences to this decision, and to that other people would see that and would want to find out about that. And I'd like to read also in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. So Deuteronomy 30, starting with verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. God is presenting here a life or death situation to Israel, to love God, to obey Him, and to live eternally with Him, or that to turn away from God, to disobey Him, and eternal separation from Him. And here He's talking to His that was His nation, that is the nation of Israel, and here they were going back to going into the land that God had prepared them, and He's saying to them that we have to be that they have to understand that God is doing this for them, and God is the one that should be obeyed, and His ways should be the ways that we go. And so we can see that even God, even there were some in that were in the nation of God and could see God's blessing and could see how He was blessing that nation and blessing people in that nation, yet there were some that didn't. Didn't want to do that and didn't want to do it exactly as He said. And then I'd like to also read Ezekiel 33:12 through 20. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgressions. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fail thereby in the days that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he had committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. And here God is speaking to the people to say that even if they have sinned, they can come unto God and they can confess those sins and they can turn from that sinful way and they can turn unto the righteousness of God. And if they do that, God will accept them. And even till today, that is happening. That if we are living a life that doesn't show forth the righteousness of God, then we have to turn from that way. We have to go according to God's will and a God's way. And we are thankful that that way of salvation is still open. And then I just want to read one more thing in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, this do, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto thee, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. Here we see that this was not a person that was of the children of Israel, but he was in Israel, and he heard about Jesus, and he came unto Jesus and asked that he pleaded that his servant would be made whole. And Jesus wanted to come unto him and do that, and he said, I'm not even worthy to have you come into my house. Jesus looked at that was faith and trust in Jesus. And because of that faith and trust, his servant was healed. And I think that's the key thing that we have to have today. And we have to have a trust in Jesus and have a trust of that he is the one that we should come unto, and that he is the one that if we follow his word and follow those things in his word, then we can also partake of and dedicate our lives. We can also partake of the promise of heaven and the promise of God to lead us into heaven. And the law of God, it teaches us about sin and what is against God and what God is for. And without the law, people wouldn't know you wouldn't know really the extent of our own sins, that we're doing something against God. And we may even think that we're doing something against another person, but really that's against the law of God. And so that would be wrong, and we have to see that that is wrong. And I also want to use like this example. If I'm driving in my car and I come to an intersection that has no stop sign, no traffic light, no one is directing traffic, and if I just drive to that intersection, I really haven't broken any laws to do that. But if I come to an intersection that has a stop sign or a red light or someone directing traffic, and I go through that intersection anyway without stopping, then I have broken a law. I have that those lights and that sign was put there for a reason, so that that intersection would be a safe place, that I would have to do that. And if a policeman saw me go through that without stopping, he would stop me, and he would say that, and he would give me a ticket, and he would and I might grumble and say, why is he doing that to me? I didn't hit anyone, or no one got hurt. But he might say, well, that stop sign was put there for a reason, or the light was put there for a reason, so that that would be a safe intersection. And you ignored that. You ignored those things. And that might have caused the death of another person. If you ignore those things and go through that, then the stop sign or the light may have saved a life. And so is the law of God. God didn't give us those commands and those to do His will to be an inconvenience for us. He did that to save lives. He did that to save lives, and He did that to have people come unto Him and give their lives over to Him. So even the law of God is something that we could understand and that we could try to follow and give our life over to God. And I'm thankful that that way of salvation is still open today, that that's still available today to those, even to those who have sinned, that they would be able to give their lives, to repent of the sins and give their lives over to God, so that they could too could have eternal life in His kingdom. May the Lord bless His word.
Number 18, first four verses.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brothers Mark and Frank, for this morning's Bible class and service. And the verse in Deuteronomy really hit home to me, where it said, choose life. That's something we need to do every day of our lives, to choose life. And it reminded me of a song that has these words as the chorus. Choose life that you might live the life that He gives. He gives you forever. Choose life, the way that is true, when the one who chose you, your Father in heaven, choose life. Let's all arise to pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to choose life. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, that we may choose him to be our Lord and Savior, and then to choose to live with him forever in heaven. We thank you. We thank you that that call goes out to everyone to choose life. Choose your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for our loved ones who are not here, that you would watch over them, bring them back safely. But above all else, Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit live within us so that we daily choose life. We pray this in your and thank you also for the food that we will partake of. Bless the hands that have prepared it. And through it all, may we choose you. And Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.